There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, 107 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile, hour number two on this Monday. Glad to have you here. And you check us out online, fmtalk1065.com. But I would be remiss if I didn't point out our fantastic, soon-to-be award-winning Facebook page, facebook.com/fmtalk1065. We have a couple stories on there we're going to talk about in later on in this hour. First, though, what I mentioned before we went to break, and it's good just to talk to him because he's one of the good guys out there, and he does a heck of a job at the grounds and with the Greater Gulf State Fair. Executive Director out there, it's Josh Woods joining us now on Midday Mobile. Hey, Josh.
Hey, Sean. Thanks for having me on today. I appreciate it.
Man, it's always good to get to talk with you and visit with you. We need to do it more often. But I was thinking about this. Like, I know that we had some discussions about kind of how the Greater Gulf State Fair would fare this year. And then I got to thinking, because they delayed the Baldwin County Fair, I wanted to check back in with you and kind of let you run through that. What is the story for the Greater Gulf State Fair this year?
Yeah, so obviously 2020 has been quite the year, all the way around, to say the least. And you know, we're basically going to open. That's kind of just laying it out there. We're going to open. We have several plans that we're going to put in place, depending on kind of what you know, what the climate looks like as far as what's going on when the fair opens. Ordering a lot of hand sanitizer, building hand sanitizer stations. Prepared for social distancing, and on September 21st, we've got a couple more details to refine. But on September 1st, we're gonna really release the plan in full. Like I said, we've got a couple more little details we need to kind of finish up and polish, and we're ready to announce. But you know, right now we're gonna have a fair.
Yeah, it's a go, right? I mean, we can say the fair is a go.
It's a go. Might look a little different, might feel a little different, but it's a go.
All right. What dates wise? Anything changed on that?
Potentially, those are kind of one of those details that we're trying to kind of sew up in the next week or two here. You know what? Obviously, the fair industry as a whole has really been rocked and shaken. I know you know, Delaware State Fair and Wyoming State Fair. Wyoming's running right now. Delaware just closed. They two wonderful models of how to have a fair during this COVID climate that we're facing. But you know, we're working right now, kind of working with our partners at Jackson State Fair and Mid South Fair and our carnival company, and really trying to do our best to make sure everybody can open and have a safe fair. And that might mean, you know, a day or two shift in dates, but we'll have that all nailed down by the first.
You talk about Delaware and Wyoming. Do y'all have, like, maybe a strange question? It wouldn't be my first. Do y'all have, like, fair conference calls with other people that do what you do?
We do. So
you do.
We're a member of the International Association of Fair and Exhibitions, and basically just that's our trade association, and they've really, our trade association's really stepped up. Marla, our president of the and executive director of the association, really, their teams went all out. You know, we're on calls bemoaning with the people that aren't able to open, and encouraging other people who are going to open, and then also, you know, we're sharing a lot of information, and a lot of experts are joining us on weekly conference calls to try to get us open. So we're definitely prepared and equipped, thanks to IFE.
Okay, so they will, I mean, they'll, you can say, hey, Delaware, what worked, what didn't work? Hey, Wyoming, what worked, didn't work, or other fairs? And they can say, man, here's what we were doing, this was good.
Yeah, Danny is their assistant general manager up there, kind of the face of the fair, and sent those guys a Facebook message telling them they did awesome and amazing, and while they were going on, and he said, oh, you know, their Facebook group told us to give them a shout and set a call up, and we had a call last Thursday, actually, or last Wednesday with them, so it was really great to kind of see what they did well and what they could have done better so that we can utilize that.
Well, I mean, it's good that you use that knowledge to move forward, make the best decision, and not give up. I wouldn't expect that out of you anyway, but, you know, to keep pushing through. Because I mean, you talk about 2020, the year it's been. I want to come back to what's happening now, but I want to talk about something you and I talked about, gosh, months ago, and I was in a conversation with you about, you know, what it took to keep it going at the grounds and through all this process, and we were in a discussion about PPP, I think, and you pointed out that the designation for... Is it for the JCs? Is it for the grounds? It's one that y'all weren't eligible for PPP.
Yeah, it is. And PPP was available to nonprofits, really C3s and some veterans organizations and tribal organizations. But what they left out was the C6 and the C5s. C6 being like a chamber of commerce, C5s being more of an agricultural worker-style union that organizations, committees. So we unfortunately still aren't qualified for it. You know, we've been lobbying with Congressman Burns, senators. I'm also talking to the governor about potentially using some of that money to kind of help fares out all across Alabama. There's about five or six of us, and out of that, from what it looks like, only two of us are moving forward to open, unfortunately.
Only two. Okay, so two out of all the states, out of all the fairs in the state, are going to run.
That's two to three. So wow. Been in contact with a couple that you know, they're going to be making announcements here probably by the end of the month as well. But you know, out of the five, six, seven that are operating in the state of Alabama, there's only going to be a handful of us.
Well, maybe it's not a good thing to use my name if you address the governor's office, but I would suggest you got a fair argument. I think as coronavirus, you know, the state money to deal with the effects of coronavirus, y'all have shown the effects of coronavirus, and you're still pushing through. So, I mean, I think I could make your argument for you. Just don't attach my name to it.
I appreciate that. You know, one thing that we're here for the community. Obviously, we like to be the place where people come, gather, make memories, have experiences. But you know, in the worst of times, we're here as well, stepping up to the plate. Whether that's you know, volunteering to be a testing site, or during hurricanes, you know, we're staging Alabama Power, and you know, during the worst of times, we're here to support the community as well. So we appreciate anything and any support the community gives us.
Hey, if you're just joining us, talking to Executive Director of the Greater Gulf State Fair and the Grounds, Josh Woods, got questions for the text line here. Tim says, what about the contracts with the people that have the rides? What are they saying out there?
Yeah, so our carnival company is North America Midway Entertainment, and they the only time they've set up their rides was in Miami in March. They were 15 minutes away from opening, and unfortunately, the governor would not let them open. So basically, they've just been hanging out doing the fair food drive ups around the country. You know, setting up in some mall parking lots, trying to keep everybody paid. But we're good 100% with name. We're working with them. I talk to them multiple times a week, and you know, that's part of the thing that we're, you know, if our dates maybe shift back a couple of days, is we're trying to get other fairs open so that they can get the fairs open as well.
What about you know, I'm going there, the ag side of it. What do you hear from those folks?
Yeah, so we've really obviously that's kind of a moving target right now, given the fact that. Our hog sale, our sale and our show, our market hog sale and show, that is a that's kind of an affiliate of the school. So you know, your FFA class,
right?
With kids not being in school, we're trying to figure that out. And then also, you know, that we have the 4-H component as well. So we're, you know, hopefully here between September 1st and 15th, we'll get a good feel of what shows we can do and how and if we can do them.
I didn't even think about that part of it because the kids, the normal schedules for 4-H or school are not there. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that class and that club, kind of hard to raise hogs when you're not there in person.
Yeah, that's for sure. All right, so if we're looking at benchmark datelines, you know, dates here, you said the next big date September, right? More information comes out then.
Right, September 1st, we're gonna have a press conference release, a lot of information. We'll know what it is, when it's going to happen, what the hours are going to be. what entertainment we're going to be able to provide this year, and then after that, we'll kind of finish these other areas off, like the agriculture side, to get a better handle of how we go forward with that.
What about somebody right now that's they think it's are tickets going to be online? Is that going to be done?
Yeah, right now tickets are actually live right now. Just haven't been pushing it because again we releasing that information. But you can go to greatergulfstatefair.com. Go ahead and buy your tickets. Right now is a great time to buy them. In the month of August and September, we have the 2-for package. So basically, have buy one get one pretty much for two people for the price of one. So it's a great deal, great offer.
That is a good deal, especially when I'm hauling all those children with me down there. It helps. Josh, as always, man, I appreciate your time. I appreciate the work y'all are doing to keep this happening. And once again, only 2 or maybe 3 of the fairs in the state of Alabama are going to happen this year.
Right. We very, very, very sad to hear that.
Yeah,
but, we're a JC organization. We're definitely going to push through and get open, and definitely our hearts with the Greater State Fairs out with Sonny Hankins and the Baldwin County Fair crew, because that's a tough decision I know they had to make.
Josh, I appreciate you. We'll call you back and for sure check in after September 1st.
Sounds great. I look forward to it, Sean. We'll talk to you then.
All right, be great. That's Josh Woods, Executive Director at the grounds at the Greater Gulf State Fair. Good guy. A lot of questions about fair rides. I don't want to talk about the ag component, just the fair ride. Remember the Himalayan? Did you ever ride the Himalayan when it came to the fair? All right, check in with News 5. We're coming right back. 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
You don't get that R.L. Burnside on the Jeff Four Show, do you? No. All right, 123 FM Talk, 106.5, and Midday Mobile, Monday style. Glad to have you here. And the phone number, 343-0106, 343-0106. So we can get into tonight's virtual Democrat convention in a second. Some of the guests booked and the hubbub about there being Republicans there. We'll get to that in a second, but Grant, you've sent me off on a South African goose chase here. I didn't know this. So Grant on the text line said about ride operators from South Africa. I didn't know that was a thing. I completely ignorant. So now the wormhole has opened up. Grant, I'm trying to figure out. He's just asking why so many from South Africa. He said he's talked to people that are operating them and said, hey, where are you from? They said Johannesburg. So I don't know. Do they move over here and get in the business? Because, it's going to be a lot of money on the container ship to put the Himalayan in, or the Tilt-A-Whirl in the container ship and bring it from Cape Town to Mobile. So I don't know. Grant, I have no idea, but I'll dig into it. Where do the operators come from other countries? Remember the Himalayan? Wasn't that the one that went backwards and always played the Daz Band's Let It Whip? Or something like that. Maybe I'm remembering something from an acid-washed jeans past out there somewhere. All right. Tonight, you don't have to make a choice here because the SEC scheduled confirmation event starts at 6 our time, real time, central time, and the DNC virtual convention. If you want to watch two Alabama players in this, you've got Senator Doug Jones and Mayor Randall Woodfin speaking tonight. But that starts at 8, so you can do them both here. So I do want to get into talking about the lineup here. And Leanna has posted up. If you'll go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/FMTalk1065, you'll see the line. There's a link there. I think it's the top story up. You hit that and you go down. It'll take you to that page. It'll show you all their ways to watch the convention tonight. Is it TV? Okay, I was about to say, they have all these other things listed. What about TV? You're going to have your chance to go watch the pre-recorded speeches, right, that are going to go on tonight. One of the stories that's, and now they're saying there's more Republicans that are going to be speaking at the Democrat convention. So the one that's got a lot of lip service over the weekend, right, is Kasich. He's going to be speaking at the convention. Now, this is, I would say, part of me, I can say this is a bad sign This is a bad sign for Republicans when you have Republicans speaking at a Democrat convention. But let us remember, too, that just the animus between President Trump and then Kasich back when they were running. So is this him? I really don't know why. Because if he's, maybe it's just putting the finger in the eye, he thinks, of President Trump. I don't, Does John Kasich speaking at the Democrat convention, does it, number one, make Republicans switch to the Democrats? Or number two, does it motivate Democrat voters? Is John Kasich, if John Kasich is going to be there, and let's say he is a voice for the never Trumpers out there, the Republicans out there, those that are, what, say they're still Republicans but don't support President Trump, right? So if he's there, are they going to all switch? I mean, I'm just trying to figure out, I can see how it does not look good and it's a finger in the eye for President Trump, but strategically, does it really change? I mean, does it really change anything when it comes to voting? I don't know. We'll watch it tonight, but that's when the one thing is, oh, well, you know, even Republicans are showing up to speak against President Trump tonight. And there's some. I wonder if that's ever happened the other way. Probably has. Have to dig around if there have been Democrats out there that have spoken at a Republican event. I'll tell you who they don't invite. They don't invite libertarians, right? To speak at it. Right. Which, by the way, we get in that Joe Jorgensen story here in a little bit too, but they're not inviting libertarians or any other party. They're inviting specifically John Kasich, of course, for the political effect out there. So we'll watch it tonight. I am interested, and I will watch Senator Doug Jones speak. I'll watch Mayor Randall Woodfin speak. So we can talk about it tomorrow. Oh, by the way, too. Speaking of Joe Jorgensen, so Joe Jorgensen is a libertarian presidential candidate. And Libertarians did the convention virtually already. So they've nominated Joe Jorgensen, and hopefully we'll have Ms. Jorgensen on the show here sometime between now and November. I know she was in town, I think, earlier this month, and hopefully we can get her back on when she's in on a weekday and we can get her on the show. But she's asking this question. This is something that if you're disappointed with the Democrats and the Republicans, if you've said to yourself ever, to heck with both of them, right? So where do you go? Do you go where you just go back and forth, vote Democrat sometime, Republican sometime? Because if you're going to vote for a third party, what are you told? What are you told? As a young upstart libertarian, what was I told in my 20s and 30s? What was I told? Oh, I understand what you're saying, Sean, but you couldn't risk a third party vote now. Because that'll lose it for the Republicans, right? Or you could be somebody on the left out there, and if you can't vote for that Green Party, you can't vote for it because you're going to ruin it for the Democrats, right? That's always a story. But what about getting, and you'd have to put, I guess, maybe some kind of floor on this. You have to exceed in support to get on, because I could say it's the Sean Sullivan Party and get in on the debate. But what they're asking here is, should Joe Jorgensen, the libertarian presidential candidate, be on the debate stage for one or more of the debates with President Trump and Joe Biden? I think it would do a great thing. I think you bring a libertarian into the mix. Now, I have my bias, right? But if you brought a libertarian in and you've got the back and forth, the, you know, President Trump, Joe Biden, you did this, and you know, you're deranged. No, you can't remember anything, whatever. And then you bring somebody in from a third party in there that has pretty concrete ideas about what it takes to be a libertarian. Wouldn't that, even if you were somebody that was not interested in libertarian winning, don't you think it would do a better job of forcing the other two to answer the questions, to have that third person in there? Well, there's still, but it's not happening. Jorgensen, like libertarians of the past and Green Party of the past, are asking to be part of the debate, but they're not. Don't think it'll happen. But yeah, she's petitioning to be part of the debate. I would like it. I would like to see unless it accounted for like 100 people on the stage. But if it could bring another two or three people on the stage, if some other parties wanted to get in with their nominee in the debates, I'd support it. Of course, Democrats and Republicans don't want to hear that, so just telling y'all.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 136 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Monday. Hey, and appreciate y'all's text. This texter said, thanks for at least speaking about Jo Jorgensen. She's really great. If even half the people who said I would just be wasting my vote would vote for her, she would have a chance. It's sort of like convincing someone to leave an abusive spouse, though. Yeah, maybe. But, you know, obviously you've had that same speech. Man, over my years, I heard that so many times. They go, oh, there's Sullivan. There's a libertarian. You know, it's people like you that lose elections for Republicans. Well, hey, here's the thing. I'll tell you this, though. And hopefully we'll get Joe Jorgensen on, had Gary Johnson on this show, had him in studio before when he was running. He and Bill Weld, though, absolutely snatched defeat out of the jaws of victory. Okay, wait. They snatched defeat out of the jaws of a good showing. Not out of victory, but a good showing. Well, when Bill Weld came on the Libertarian ticket in the last cycle, he absolutely just stunk up the room with this. Gary Johnson, an interesting guy to talk to, talking libertarian politics or any kind. A very smart man. He was a governor of New Mexico. Really, really loved talking with him. Gary Weld came in with some kind of, well, I've been a Democrat for a long time, but now I'm going to call myself a libertarian and move in. And I was like, why do they do that when the libertarians had the best chance of not winning? I'm not naive, but having a good showing. They just screwed it up out there. And so if you were, you know, if at that point you had already decided you were a diehard Trump fan, then they would be, you'd be happy they did that. But there's a lot of us out there that wonder where the party goes. And this is an interesting thing, because having a good showing in the election has an effect on saying maybe the policy should nod to that somewhat. In other words, the Democrats or Republicans, maybe we never get out of the two-party system, but these third parties out there with strong showing can show, hey, there's a lot of people that are thinking this. You know, a lot of people are thinking that. And right now you have, Jeff Poore this morning talked about this coming of a civil war inside the Democrat Party with moderates versus the very far left portion of the party. You know, basically you're the Bernie Sanders versus the Joe Biden, although I can argue at least the things that Joe Biden has talked about would have been, these things are far to the left of what Barack Obama ran on in his first term, so, and even the second term. But on the Republican side, I would argue with Jeff too that I think, and we've seen it with the Tea Party before, which he referenced this morning, but maybe, see, the Tea Party at first was, at least in my eyes, and we'll open up phone lines if you disagree, but it was a fiscally conservative-driven movement. And prepare feathers to be ruffled out there. And a lot of these folks might be my friends. You're welcome to call in and tell me I'm wrong. But when Santelli went on his rant there about the taxation, right, about the spending and the size of the federal government, it was a movement, and the Tea Party gained strength because it was a fiscally conservative movement. It was co-opted quickly for social conservative politics. I don't think that's how you win around the country. So when you win around the country, like the Tea Party did right away, it was driven by right-sizing government and getting rid of waste. It did go into the world of social conservatism, but I think that was one of the things that kept the Tea Party from expanding more in places other than the Deep South, right? And so you look at the possible second civil war inside the Republican Party. Tea Party, you know, was there, and it was, and they had some adjustment. There was bloodletting going on. But always on the edge here has been the libertarians and the push for a little more fiscal and maybe a little less social. Now, you say, well, that's going to, you know, it's going to lose your election. Maybe. Although, if you have a Republican that has a strong libertarian bent, and you have a Democrat, okay, let's keep it social. You have a Democrat, the social programs that the Democrats are driving right now, with the politics of today, this party, the Democrat Party today, nationally, not saying a Democrat in Alabama or Georgia, but nationally, that Democrat message, the main one that gets the most attention out there, you compare that to a libertarian-influenced Republican candidate, I think you have a big win for the Republicans, because if you're a Republican voter in the South and you don't like this kind of, well, they're all just talking about monetary policy, they're all talking about right-sizing government, I want to get my red meat social, you know, discourse in here and fight the war against those that say we can't say Christmas or any of those, you know, low-hanging fruit items out there politically. If you're you can go vote for the Democrat. Is that what you're going to do? Because there wasn't enough social. So I would agree with Jeff that there could be a, you know, a little insurrection that may turn into a junta within the Democrat Party, depending on what happens in November. But I will say Republicans are not beyond, you know, the Tea Party showed them it could happen before, and I think it could happen again. Because remember populism that's so popular right now. We look at the way the pendulum swings. Populism is what led candidate Trump to become President Trump. That Main Street populism that was really, like, I'll continue to say it even after the election, that was the planks of the platform built by Jeff Sessions that Donald Trump took to win. Those stories may not be the main stories in another cycle. And if the Republicans lose, will they say, because populism, remember, populism, even conservative populism here, you're not as hedged in by the rules as you are. If you come out and you say, I'm electing a libertarian candidate, you know that there are the constraints of that ideology are going to give you a certain set of responses. Not that every person is an individual and will on the edges of it have some gray, but there's a certain set of beliefs within that libertarian constraint. And old line Republican conservatism had those same constraints as well, but populism doesn't. Populism is what's popular right then, right? It's why we can have big spending Republicans and big spending Democrats. It's just who spends the most. So I do agree with Jeff that there could be this, depending on what happens in November, change go in the Democrats. Because, I mean, Jeff pointed out this morning, we talked about, look who's speaking. The most time that'll be given during this virtual Democratic convention, is going to be for the more moderate voices out there. And those voices that are more extreme, I think you're saying that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Bernie Sanders, I think they were limited to 3 or so minutes on their speeches. We'll see how long maybe somebody, you know, Randall Woodfin gets, Mayor Woodfin, or Doug Jones gets. I mean, they're bringing that message out there. So where do the Democrats go after, where do the Republicans go after populism? Republicans stay with populism, or do they start embracing some ideas that come from maybe the libertarian wing? Here's the problem libertarians have long term, and I'm getting lots of texts from people and emails that are so excited we're talking about libertarian politics. Remember, I used to do this all the time. We used to do a lot of this, and then populism came around, and nobody seemed to want to talk about things locked in stone. I wanted everything to be, you know, whatever happens, happens kind of thing. As long as it's a Republican doing it, it's okay. The libertarian ideals here are hard to sell. That's one thing I've talked to over the years. People like, I don't know why everybody's not on board on this. I said, because they're hard to sell ideals. You're voting for somebody who's telling you they're not going to give you everything but liberty. They're not going to be promising checks or bailouts of big cities in the United States. They're not going to tell you they're going to go fix all these problems for you, because it's a platform of the libertarians. It's one to ensure your liberty, but it's not one that says, all right, I've got an answer for every problem you have. I'm going to give you a, I got a policy for that, a way we're going to pay for that. Doesn't work that way. So it's a hard thing to sell to people out there, because there's, can promise you liberty, which should be enough for people, but that's quite not often enough to get elected. All right, come back. We'll take a few calls on this at 343-0106. So, but like other people on the text line, elsewhere, I'm with you. I would love to see, and they're once again pushing, like libertarian candidates always do, for a voice in the debate to be on the stage. And I agree. Like I have every cycle. 146. We'll be right back. Remember, on our Facebook page too, you've got 3.5 days. Oh, heck, we'll call it 4 days to get your picture in the fishing photo contest. Because remember, every Thursday, we draw for a winner in that fishing photo contest brought to you by Sportsman's Marine. One of y'all is going to win that FM Talk 106.5 fishing team t-shirt. Let it be you. Check it out on Facebook right now, and we'll check the news next.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Oh, that's cool. Hey, Leanna, check weather radar or we go to the break here. I can show you on my phone. So there's the storm that's over us right now. We're at Airport in 65 here at our studios. The way it's formed here and the way the storm y'all are getting right now in Daphne down to Fairhope is formed. Number one, it's like bookends and it looks like eyes because the way they have this radar. And like the nose is Mobile Bay. The mole on the nose is Gilliard Island. I don't know. Okay. I'll get back. So, yes, a storm going on, thunderstorm, just kind of exactly at the same latitude on both sides of the bay right now. I'll get more from Dr. Bill coming up in just a second. Go to the phones. I do read this text from Adonibus Texter. Come on. Give yourself, you know, when you text us, if you want to give me a nickname or a handle or your real name, first name, whatever, it just makes it easier for me, the way my brain works, to be able to refer to you as somebody or something. Or says, the texter says, Libertarian Party, yes, Libertarian Party is the only one not saying the government in some form or fashion is the solution to the problem. Both Republicans and Democrats have been running on government solutions for a long time. Preach, unnamed texter, I'm with you. The funny thing is, it's usually the government as a solution to a problem that the government caused in the first place. But you're correct about people not wanting to hear it. They don't. They don't want to hear it. Because it's a hard thing to run on. It is a hard thing to run on because you can't, you're making, to me, the most important promise is that one of liberty and the defense of liberty. But that is not, it's, people don't, like, there's no, doesn't have an attraction that, but I'm going to give you other stuff does. Eric says, Sean, if there's such a thing, I would be a Republican. Yeah, and there are the mash. And Eric, you're probably describing, you know, if I ever, and I don't carry cards and join teams, and but that would describe me best, probably. Eric, he said, I'm 40 years old, and I find the older I get, the more libertarian I lean. I'll tell you what I've done. I've probably become, a pragmatic libertarian. I was a raging libertarian when I was a young punk. As time's gone on and the world's built some calluses on me and shown me some things, there's a lot more pragmatism in it, but I still have the same core. All right, let's go to the phones. Betty is in Foley and up next. Hey, Betty.
Hi.
Hey.
I haven't called in a long time. I was a never-Trumper. I couldn't find a way to vote for him. I just did think we're highly of him. Certainly don't vote Democrat. If that was the only issue was abortion, I would not vote Democrat because I feel very strongly against abortion. And mm-hmm. as you know, all Democrats or the Democratic Party are for abortion.
Mm-hmm.
I feel differently now. I will be voting for Trump.
Really? So what turned you around, Betty? Like, is there one big thing or a series of things?
I just started. Well, I just observed a lot about what he did, what Trump was doing and what he wasn't doing, and I agree with things he's done and people he's put conservatism the judges and things like that. Mm-hmm. and I certainly can't align myself with the Democrats, and so I don't think he's perfect, and I think that but I can see a change in him. you have to be tough to be president.
Yep.
And I certainly don't agree with everything he does or doesn't do.
But we're not supposed to. That's the other thing, Betty, I think that gets lost, is I will disagree with something President Trump has done, and then there goes the text line, the phone line, you're a communist. I don't know. But the idea that you have to that you would elect somebody, you have to agree with everything they do, that's unreal. That's like kids think like that. That's not how grown-ups
think. It's unrealistic. But he's certainly, like I said, I've seen a change in him. And nobody talked me into any changes, because a lot of my family is voted for him last time. And I'm a pretty independent person.
It's good.
It's just the fact that I watched things, and would go on YouTube, I'd play things back, and I certainly couldn't vote Democrat, and the fact that Kasich is speaking matters nothing to me.
It doesn't sway you.
It just
you
means that he apparently aligns himself more closely with Democrats than he does with Republicans.
I would say yes, or if that's not true, Betty, then his putting a finger in the eye of Donald Trump is more important to him than supporting some set of political ideas that he's espoused for all these years. So
that's exactly. I mean, you know what? I mean, you know, right.
So I don't know. And Betty, I appreciate. I love your perspective. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, call us back soon. That's they thought out and making decisions and opinions change. And she wasn't a supporter of Trump, but now she is. That and she disagrees with some things. Like that's how I think there's a lot of folks out there that feel that way, versus just the everything's 100% good or everything's 100% bad about President Trump. All right, let's go to Derek in Fairhope next. Hey, Derek.
The problem with libertarianism is it equals personal responsibility.
Nobody likes that, Derek.
No, they don't, man. We've delegated our responsibilities to others. And everybody wants to complain. I mean, well, what did you think was going to happen? You can't delegate your responsibility to somebody else. You can't sell, libertarianism, because it means that you might have to do more to ensure your liberty. Nobody wants to do that.
Nope.
They want somebody who's going to kiss babies and do it for them.
I agree. No further commentary needed. I agree. There's nothing to run on.
Would actually put a candidate up that had a chance. I do wish that.
Well, and here's the thing. I talk about the 20, last cycle. We're talking about 2016. I didn't think that, I didn't think Gary Johnson was going to win, but they had a chance to make a better showing than when Bill Weld came on board. I just said, come on. Nobody else better?
I mean, it was a chance for a showing. Since, Ron Paul. Every time I see something, Gary Johnson was sitting there doing something illicit and, on TV, you're trying to give an interview, and they're just like, oh, great, you're an idiot,
Yeah, if they would. And they don't need to bite the bait. I appreciate the call. End with the hour. But I, the Republicans, I mean, the Libertarians would not bite the bait in every interview and just talk about drugs. They'd say, okay, yes, we're for legalization. Now let's move on to all these other things. Yes, that's true. That's honest. Now but it all turns into a drug conversation. It'll turn into a football conversation here in just about 15 seconds. A little more than that. 75 seconds. Paul Feinbaum Show is next. I'll see you all in the morning for Mobile Mornings.